I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. May I ask you to stand up for this? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, so far God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in deep reverence before you, before your holiness, before your majesty, before your word, we bow down in the dust. We look up to you, the living God, who has called us, who has redeemed us, who has graciously pardoned us and made us your people. Good Shepherd, we thank you for laying down your life for your sheep. Today we are here to be led by you to green pastures and fresh water. Almighty God, feed us with your word. Quench our thirst with your Spirit. Give us refreshment. Give us new life. Remember us, beloved Lord. We would like to remind you in love and faith of the covenant you made with us on Calvary. Remember that we are not just anyone, but the people of the new covenant, your chosen people, for whose sake you came and gave your life, shed your blood to redeem us. Beloved Lord, we remind you of the promises you have made, both in general and for these days. Great God in heaven, let your work be close to your heart. Rise up on your holy throne and stretch out your right hand, which upholds eternal victory. Uplift us. Save the lost. Set the captives free. And bless us from the riches of your grace. we ask for your blessing, for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. And as your servant Paul prayed, that the word be given to him that he had to bring, so I ask you from my heart, give us now the word, the scriptures that you want to give us. May there be something for everyone, for all who are newly added, and for all, beloved Lord, you are a great God, and we are allowed to be your people. Forgive us all our sins. May your blood now speak for us, O God. Grant us today a gathering with you in your presence. Grant us connection with you through your word and through your Spirit. Faithful Lord, we entrust everything to you and ask you to be gracious to us and be with us. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Surely, we could sing a number of choruses, and they are always edifying and a blessing to us all. But the time we have here is so short, and we want to use it to let the word of Christ dwell richly among us. For thus it is written, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And by grace we can testify that God's word is not a dead, unknown letter to us, but a living revelation of God made known through the Holy Spirit. This is most noticeable when we meet people who have never heard or seen it before. We have realized that all things will come to an end, but God's word remains forever. And all those who have taken God's word into themselves remain with the word forever, because they have become part of the word. I met up again with a brother from Syria who translated the first brochure, and now the literature is also being printed in Arabic. He gave me addresses from Jordan and Egypt. I have already preached in those countries, but I have repeatedly met people who just hate the people of Israel. And I cannot work together with people who do not love God's people. For me, respect for God's decision comes first. God chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God chose the people of Israel. And so we are very grateful that we do not compromise on this either. I just can't do it. I can remain tactful. I can use a little diplomacy when appropriate. But I cannot compromise on the truth. That is not possible. Because if we, who have recognized the truth, do not proclaim it, who will proclaim it? Brother Branham preached the sermon entitled Satan's Eden, and Satan has managed to mislead humanity in such a pious way that it can really make one feel sick. What was reported in the newspapers and press a few days ago from Vienna, what happened there has shaken many people. But what has not been made public is that a whole number of people took part in such meetings, received their inspiration there, and then acted on it. So much is happening, so much is going on, that, as I said before, one really cannot feel comfortable about it. And yet we know that at the end of days, things will become bad, and that people will be put in a position where they can no longer believe. And those who do not profess faith must profess unbelief. They will become victims of unbelief. I do not want to dwell on these things any further. They move me deeply, because we know that time is coming to an end, and that the Lord will make all his enemies his footstool, and that truly everything that has opposed him will be humbled before him, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. We, and I deliberately read the words from Ephesians 6, are not engaged in a battle that is fought with flesh and blood. We have been placed in a spiritual battle, and we must hold our ground. And I will tell you to briefly elaborate on this one thought. Last Friday, exactly 8 days ago, the highest ranking man of the Jewish synagogue in Düsseldorf visited us at the mission center, and I thought I could talk to this man about faith. And then he suddenly said, I would like to tell you that I belong to a lodge. And then I was struck again. And when I read further, that the highest Catholic dignitary in Paris is a Jew who converted to Catholicism, I really felt sick to my stomach. There is such a mixture at the moment as there has never been before. Everything is so mixed up. No one knows what is going on anymore, and everything is being led into error. But there is a church of the living God, a blood-bought multitude that has been brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and by grace we are allowed to belong to it. May all others fulfill their tasks, but we want to ensure that we can truly fulfill the tasks that God has set us by His grace and with His help. I would like to briefly refer to Ephesians 6, to verse 15, and your feet shod with a preparation to preach the gospel of peace. Where peace is made, there must be reconciliation. Where there is reconciliation, there must be forgiveness. The message of the cross, the message of redemption, is a message of forgiveness, reconciliation, and peace. Before we can sing, "When peace like a river attendeth my way," forgiveness and reconciliation must have taken place. And only then does the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding of men, fill us. When we, as people reconciled with God, as people who penetrated to the assurance of being saved, who have received the testimony through the Spirit of God that we have become children of God, come before the throne of grace, then we must know that we have access. The veil has been torn. The way is clear. We do not stand outside and knock. We are not standing afar off, but we are standing near. Reconciled with God, having received forgiveness, and the peace of God fills our hearts. Then it continues, above all, taking the shield of faith. Beloved, we must simply anchor our faith in God's promises. And like Abraham, we must look to the invisible that God has promised, as if we see them before our eyes, and then it will be granted to us by grace. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I don't know about you, but God's Word is always precious to me. And especially when I sit down and write and think I have touched on the subject, when I read it again, I say to myself, you haven't even started yet. You've only just touched on it, let alone explained it. The plan of salvation of our God is so high, so deep, so wide and broad. The thoughts of God are so mighty. What does the psalmist say? Their number is uncountable. It is enough for us to know that God has thoughts of love and peace for us. It is enough for us to know that God has revealed to us His counsel as far as it is needed, not only to become believers, but also to observe and recognize the temporal developments in the light of the prophetic word. Then, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I believe the next sermon, if it is not already out, by Brother Branham, is entitled Perseverance. one must become persevering. Simply persevere. Hold out. Because God keeps His promises. As the prophet writes in the Old Testament, and if the prophecy is delayed, wait for it, for it will surely come to pass. It will surely come to pass. Nothing is more certain than God's word. It is really so. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will remain forever. And that is why I too am calm in the Lord, even though I sometimes feel the urge to ask Him, when will it happen? When will the time come? But then I pause and say, Lord, You will do as You have done until now, what pleases You, when it pleases You. I am at Your disposal. It is not we who tell the Lord what to do. We must be ready to be at His disposal when He wants to do something. Let me turn to a few scriptures, to Luke chapter 10. Let us take them to heart and let them speak to us. Luke chapter 10 from verse 18. And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I read this word with the intention that no one needs to be afraid. Satan can turn the whole earth upside down, but you need not be afraid. Jesus Christ has defeated and overcome Satan and the powers of darkness. And John writes, He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Do you believe that? Who is the Almighty? God alone and no one else. Is that right? And so we must always give glory to God in our faith. Don't you ever talk about the power of Satan. He can do what he wants. I am not interested in that. Or only marginally, in order to see through things. God alone is almighty. And Jesus says here, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He was not defeated by the skin of one's teeth with great effort. After a long struggle, he was seized and cast down, and that was the end of it, even to this day. The victory of Golgotha is truly a victory of God for all who are redeemed. And when we testify to this in faith, and give glory to the Lord, and offer our praise to the victor of Golgotha, then Satan will also depart, and the victory of God will be revealed. Then it continues in verse 20, Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Praise be to the name of the Lord. God has truly done everything He could do. Now we only need to believe. We have access to everything God has prepared for us. Because of the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Do not let anything be disputed anymore, but say, Satan, get thee hence, and give glory to the Lord, who has crushed the head of the old serpent. And beloved, the proof that we have truly been redeemed and freed from the power of death, hell and Satan has been revealed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. If He had only died, what would that have been? None of us would know what had become or what had not become. But on the third day, when our Lord rose again, He was the living proof of redemption, of the overcoming of death, of the overcoming of hell, of Satan. He was the proof in person, no one else. He Himself took away the power of death and emerged victorious. Since what happened to Him happened for our sake and for us, we must now look at the matter from above. From God's perspective, we were in Christ, just as in earthly terms, all of mankind was already present in Adam, and only procreation took place. So from a divine perspective, we were all in Christ. That is why this wonderful word is written in Ephesians chapter 1, that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Hallelujah! Praise be to the living God. Redemption will not happen tomorrow or today. Redemption happened on Golgotha. Our Lord cried out, "It is finished." If we see it correctly, then we must see it this way, that we were crucified with Christ, died, were buried, descended into hell, and rose with Him to a new life, and that by the grace of God we were transferred through Him into the heavenly places, as the Holy Scriptures say. And then Paul writes, "Now we see not yet all things put under Him, but we see the One to whom everything will be subject." We must distinguish that God realizes His plan of salvation over time and not all at once. For everything in the kingdom of God, the fullness of time must come when the time was fulfilled, when God's hour struck. God acted, and so it will be in this time as well. In verse 21 it says, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Not revealed to all mankind, but to those who would accept it. Revelation that comes from God is something sacred. It is not given to be talked down, picked apart, trampled underfoot. Revelation that comes from God is given to those who know how to appreciate and value it, who rejoice in it, and recognize from it that they have found grace before God, because God has revealed Himself to them. That is the key point that really matters. At that time, the disciples asked our Lord, "Why do you want to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world?" And He said, "The world will no longer see me, but ye will see me. And I will be with you until the end of the world." What is not accessible to the general public, God has reserved for those who are allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies, namely into His presence, so that they do not stand before a veil, but are actually in the presence of Almighty God. I would like to read from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, because we live in a time when, spiritually speaking, the mouth is not as important as it was in the Pentecostal era, when everyone spoke in tongues, sang in tongues, and that was, so to speak, the main thing that had been going on since the turn of the century. And I want to say very clearly and be well understood, I believe in the full gospel. I believe in justification, in sanctification, in baptism with the Spirit and fire. But anyone who searches the Holy Scriptures will see that with the baptism of the Spirit, an equipment for the service of the church was given. Not just one thing that is then disputed, but in fact an outpouring of all the gifts of the Spirit that were present in the outpouring of the Spirit. That is why the 9 gifts of the Spirit are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Their application is shown in chapter 14 and so forth. But it goes even further. Brother Branham actually described the body of the Lord in its growth. He took the word of our Lord with a grain of wheat. First the sprout comes out. You see 2 little leaves sprouting somehow. Then comes the stalk, then the ear, and then the full wheat in the ear. One can say in the planting that when the farmer looks over the wheat field that for my sake is so great, he can say, I have a glorious wheat, but he does not yet have the wheat. He only has, for my sake, the stalk, or then the ear. At the very end, at harvest time, at the time of ripening, the entire life that has been making its way from the beginning and has been growing higher and higher is then gathered at the top in the ear as wheat. And the wheat that is then gathered in the ear has the same characteristics, the same composition as the wheat that was sown. Is that true or not? No one needs to be a farmer to know that. I had to use a sickle when I was 13 years old. I know quite a bit about agriculture. At the very top, in the final stage, the point is reached as it was when the wheat fell into the ground. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus fell into the earth. He died. He was buried. He brings forth after his kind. Whether we can fully comprehend it today or not, but it is true. On the day that God has made, we will be transformed 100% into the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The same characteristics, the same nature, the same life, everything fundamentally, just as he was and had, so it will be. So, I believe that in the restoration, all spiritual gifts must and will be present, with the one difference that they will no longer be used at one's own discretion, but under the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit. Now to come to what Brother Branham said. He compared the Pentecostal age with speaking in tongues, with a development that is taking place in the church, and said, the church is thus complete, and life has already come to the mouth. People spoke in other tongues. They moved their lips. And then he continued and said that since that time, divine progress has now come from the mouth to the eyes and to the ears. Today, it is not just a matter of someone being inspired, blessed, having wonderful feelings, and speaking in tongues. I spoke in tongues for the last time yesterday evening when I bent my knees and laid the service before the Lord. But when I come to the service, I say like Paul, in a church meeting, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind so that all may receive instruction than many words in a language that others do not understand. I read from Revelation chapter 1. Verses 11 and 12, here it is written, the voice called out to me, "What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches." Here we are dealing with seeing. You all know that in the Old Testament, the prophets were called seers. They saw. They saw what God showed them. John saw. And what he saw, he was to write down so that we might hear it, so that it might reach our ears, and not only our ears, but our hearts, to become a revelation within us. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. How grateful we can be to God that He made sure that to all the teaching found in all the letters was added the prophetic book, which Martin Luther did not even want to include in the Bible, because he was desperate and said, "Who can make sense of this? The time was not yet right." Today we live in this word of revelation, and this revelation is alive before us. We have not only seen and heard it, it has become a revelation in our hearts. It continues here in verse 12. "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me." And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Beloved, I was just trying to say that we are grateful to God for the time of the beginning, when the Reformation took its course here in Central Europe. We are grateful to God for all the revivals that followed, and especially for the Pentecostal revival, which prepared the ground for the last message to be brought. You all remember when in 1937 Brother Branham's first wife died in the Ohio flood, when the Ohio River burst its banks and many thousands lost their lives. Brother Branham's wife also perished, and also his daughter Sharon. And the last words she said were, "Billy, promise me that you will go to these people." And she used the word trash, the ones I called trash, "that you will go to these people," because she herself came from a good background. She did not want her husband to be associated with the Pentecostal movement, which at that time was ridiculed, mocked, derided, known as holy rollers, and all sorts of things. He should not go with them. And that was her final testimony. "Promise me that you will go to the people I have called trash." What is nothing before the world, God has chosen. Do not think that the wise of this world have the courage to give up their reputation, their rank, their name. Thank God, we did not have much to lose, but we had a great deal to gain. And Paul understood this back then, saying, whatever I considered to be gain, I now consider to be loss. He even used the word dung, trash, to gain Christ. So we can count ourselves among those who have found grace before God. But if someone stops at any point in the revival, then they remain there. There are many who have stopped at justification, who philosophize today about the meaning of justification without having personally experienced it, without being able to preach it, because they cannot say anything about it without having experienced it. Others philosophize about sanctification, and still others about the baptism of the Spirit. Let us become and be people who have truly experienced all these stages. Let us not try to take a leap, but rather experience God step by step, one stage at a time. Let us truly experience Him as our brothers and sisters experienced Him in the beginning. For that means complete restoration. Of course, we also realize that it does not stop with a mouth, with a speaking in tongues, with prophesying, with all these things. And I will also tell you why. Paul, as a man gifted by God, was able to say in 1 Corinthians 13, all things shall cease, whether it be tongues, whether it be knowledge, whatever it may be, all things shall come to an end. When the perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Beloved, I dare say that in these days we have not been looking at partial revelations, partial knowledge, as through a mirror into a dark landscape. I dare say that in these days, by grace, we have been allowed to look into the divine plan of salvation as completely as it could be, not from ourselves. It is a gift from God, because the time has come for it. Had we lived in other times, we would have had no choice but to experience what happened and was proclaimed by God in that time. We live in a prophetic age. We no longer puzzle and guess. We look with open eyes, with anointed spiritual eyes, and see the fulfillment of Scripture before our eyes. And the last message must bring us to maturity, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The same virtues, the same characteristics, the same life that was in Christ must ultimately come to maturity in the Church of the Living God. And I believe in that. I simply believe that it will happen. Look, I will give you an example. When the Lord Jesus walked on earth, he too was subject to aging from an earthly perspective. At 8 days old, we see him in the temple, being consecrated and receiving his name, being circumcised. At the age of 12, we see him in the temple, and at the age of 30, we are told he began his ministry. And the people said, "You are not yet 50, do you see?" They estimated him to be much older than he actually was. He was a man of sorrows. Everything touched his heart. He suffered with everyone, bore with everyone. He carried the entire burden. But now here's the thing. After his resurrection, his own did not recognize him. He was in a completely different form. He was no longer subject to aging. He was, as we will see him, and as we will be when we are transformed. Beloved, God has a wonderful plan for us, for complete maturity at the very end, and not from ourselves, but because God has ordained it so. There will be a church as she was in the beginning, with the life and nature of Jesus, with the power of God, through which the ministry of Jesus Christ will continue. The same question keeps coming up. How will it all be? Beloved, let us be surprised. No one knows exactly how it will be. But we know one thing. God is faithful. He keeps his promises. And if today, in the meetings here, there is no clapping of hands, no cheering and shouting, or speaking in tongues is not the main focus, it is because we have recognized that there are many charismatic movements in motion today. That is no longer the issue today. I find it very difficult to dismiss the matter. But when the great man, whom I knew personally, and who was known throughout the world as Mr. Pentecost, when he made his visit to the Pope as the head of the Pentecostal movement, he wrote in his newsletter, "I believe the Pope is born again." And what can I tell you? People accepted this without knowing what a trick was behind it. What blindness can be found among people? And I tell you, what was often repeated by Brother Branham, and what our Lord said in Matthew 24:24, "If it were possible, even the elect would be deceived." So, the false must come so close to the genuine. And now comes the point. We have been told again and again, test everything by the word. Give the matter the word test, and then you will know what you are dealing with. Come to these charismatic movements with a word, and I tell you, they will jump out of their skin. I have experienced it. I have felt what it is like. Test everything by the word. we have been privileged to witness this spiritual progress by grace in our generation, from speaking, from the movement of the mouth, from speaking that was piecemeal, from speaking in other tongues and so on. Thank God for all the piecemeal. But thank God also for the perfect. The Word of God is not piecemeal. The Word of God is perfect. And in these last days, as I said earlier, no partialities or partial knowledge have been served up. It has pleased God to bring His people up to date through direct revelation, to reveal Himself to us so that we know who it is that speaks to us. And beloved, the same one that John saw when he heard the voice speaking to him, the same one is seen by all those who receive the prophetic word that has been revealed in faith in their hearts. They see only one who has something to say, only one from whose mouth the word comes forth like a two-edged sword. They no longer listen to left and right. They no longer take detours. They no longer try this and that. They have found what their soul was searching for. They have found what satisfies them inwardly. They have heard the voice and then looked for the one who is speaking. Like John, we also see the seven golden candlesticks, the seven church ages through which the New Testament church passes up to the last church age, Laodicea. And whom do we hear? Whom do we see? The one who walks among the seven golden candlesticks. And through whom did he speak? He had seven stars in his right hand, and the seven stars were the seven angels of the seven churches. God gave the message to the angel of the church, and he was allowed to pass it on to the church. Speak today to the people who speak so many languages, who think they are in the seventh heaven and move back and forth. Some even fall down and think it is the power of God. I would prefer they did not fall down but were lifted up, for too many are lying down and sleeping. A wake-up call must sound through the trumpet of the gospel, and the time has come. Do not worry. How did our brothers and sisters here sing? God is still in control, and everything is subject to Him. Everything runs and goes as He wants it to. The true Church of Jesus Christ does not only speak in various tongues, even if it were through the Spirit, it would all be piecemeal. Our knowledge is piecemeal. Our prophesying is piecemeal. Everything is piecemeal. But when the perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Beloved, I do not wish to lay down any doctrine, but I dare say that the message God has given us in His Word is not a collection of all the fragments, but is the perfect revelation of Jesus Christ, the perfect revelation of the will and the word of God, the perfect revelation of all things that had remained hidden until this time. And all of you who have researched church history can read about it. Their knowledge was piecemeal, and they could not help it. The time was not yet ripe. How they longed to see what we see, to hear what we hear, but the time had simply not yet come. Today, we can gather before God with gratitude and truly say, what had not been proclaimed and revealed during the 2,000 years of the New Testament time of grace, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets. That's how it is. What was not known at any time, we know today. And what could never have been heard and understood in the overall picture, we now hear and understand. A spiritual growth. Not because we are better than others. No, that has nothing to do with it. Simply, when the time was fulfilled. This is the day. This is the time that the apostles and prophets would have liked to see and experience. They have gone before us. What could Daniel do when he was told, seal up the book, seal it, until the end time? Until the end time. Chapter 12, verse 4. Then many will search it, and so understanding will increase. Many are searching it in our time as well. How many do you think read the last book of the Bible? But let me also say to you today, dear friends, who are newly added, I say this with a humble heart, not to hurt anyone, and I say it with love. Everyone can read it. Every professor, every teacher, every pastor, every missionary. And who will understand it? Only those who recognize and respect God's work, God's decision, the ministry that God has appointed for this time, who place God's work in the history of the plan of salvation biblically, and recognize that God had to send a prophet to completely place the prophetic part of the plan of salvation. All others will continue reading. They may grow old like Methuselah and still not understand the beginning of things. First, we must respect the divine order, namely that the Lord had seven stars in His right hand, and that these seven stars are the seven angels, the seven messengers whom God used to speak in the seven church ages. Not just people who talk about God, but men through whom God could speak. And that is precisely the big difference in this generation. There are evangelists who talk about God, but we can also humbly say this much. God was able to speak through Brother Branham. Through him, he was able to tell us, freely and openly, without any ifs or buts, without riddles, without using parables, and especially the things that are so precious to us as revelation. Others stumble over them and fall. I had to think of a doctor, one of the best surgeons in Wuppertal, and then when he heard what Brother Branham said about the fall, he came to my house with some brothers and said, "Brother Frank, I must warn you in the name of the Lord. This Branham, he was a false teacher." And then, of course, as a chief physician, surgeon, very well known, and then he used many words about Brother Branham. I said, "Listen, if I were you, I would not judge. I would keep silent and leave it alone." And then he announced my death, saying, "If you don't stop this immediately, you will be struck down suddenly by the Lord and called home." Specifically, what happened in the Garden of Eden was described as abominable. What can I tell you? It didn't take long. Then this same doctor, who had operated on many people and who was a believer, who even baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, ended up in Düsseldorf at the university hospital and died during the operation that was performed on him. One must not mock God. One must not touch the prophets of God. It is written, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." So it is written in the Bible. Beloved, we do not worship any man that is far from us, but we gratefully acknowledge that God sent a man like Elijah, who did not go to the Pope to kiss his ring and kneel before him. But when the interview was to take place that afternoon, Brother Branham asked what needed to be done. He absolutely had to go to the Pope. The full gospel businessman wanted this, and he asked, "What must I do there?" They said, "Just kiss his ring and kneel down a little on one knee. And when you go back from him, don't turn your back on him. But just as you come, you must also go backwards from him, because no one may turn their back on the Pope." And, as I said, Brother Branham listened to this and said to Mr. Van Blomberg, who was the ambassador, he said, "Just let them know that I'm not coming. I'm declining. I give honor to no one but my Lord who redeemed me. I bow to no man." God truly had a man who could have led a beautiful life with a tremendous gift that God had given him. The whole world could have been at his feet, but he did not abuse it. He used it to help us, upon whom the end of time has come. I make no secret of this. We are not going back to Rome. We say to all people, come out of religious Babylon. Be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Come out of all tradition, out of all statutes and dogmas. Come out of everything. turn your backs on the papacy and turn to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you will find peace for your souls. There is no other way. If Christ is the head and a man wants to be the chief, then he would be another head above a head. That is not possible, not with us. We believe with all our hearts, as the scriptures say. Let me summarize. God has made us a people of kings and priests with the aim of transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He the firstborn among many brethren, and when he appears and we see him, we will be like him. And because we are living at the end of time, God is above all that people could speak of under tremendous blessings. Everything was beautiful. I experienced it myself, even into the night. Those were beautiful hours of bliss. I would not want to have missed them. A connection to God is something wonderful. But when the time came, God opened my eyes to see that it is not about the fragments that I utter without knowing what they actually are and what I am saying. God opened my eyes to see that we have progressed in our spiritual development. What we see today, what we hear today, we see the Lord standing among the seven golden candlesticks. We hear him. We hear the word that is meant for our time. And with that, we stand on God's side. We agree with God and are willing to be corrected, to be brought into line, to be brought into harmony with his word. Everyone else will rebel. They will say, wait a minute, that's how it's been done until now. And suddenly, it's no longer right. Do you know what is right? What was practiced in the Bible is right. And anything that is not practiced according to the Holy Scriptures is not right. We do not live in a time when people talk in hopeless confusion. We live in a time when God is calling his people together to speak to us clearly and distinctly through his holy word. From the perfect revelation of the word, a transition to perfect faith, which takes God at his word, as Abraham did, until we then come through this perfect faith to the perfect seeing of what God has promised. And it will no longer be piecemeal. It will be a perfect revelation of the power of God. I have said it here before. I do not want to only see people with stomach ailments or kidney problems being healed. I want to see people coming in blind and going out seeing, that they come deaf and leave hearing. I want the same things that cannot be denied by believers or unbelievers, that the Lord God will reveal himself in the end, as he did in the beginning. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. One question in closing. Are you grateful? Have you recognized that God has moved forward with the church and brought us out of confusion into the true, perfect revelation of His word and His will. Then say Amen. Amen. That's how it is. This is not arrogance. This is God's plan of salvation. How the wheat comes and grows and grows and grows, passing through the different states. But then, at harvest time, the ear ripens. It turns yellow. The full wheat is in the ear. We live in a time when everything that is called God's children comes unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, by the power of perfect redemption, by the power of the perfectly revealed word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The blood-bought multitude will witness the completion with power and glory. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Amen.